Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Man, that's why we exist. We exist to make Jesus famous. And man, it's so easy. It's so portable. It's so easy to make Jesus famous. It's how you treat your wife. It's how you treat your neighbor. It's how you treat the coffee server, the waitress, the dude who cuts you off in traffic. Man, when you make Jesus famous, it's more than just a church motto. It's a way to live your life. And we think it's so portable. We feel like we're on a unique calling, and that's to reach rural America. I feel like rural America is so underserved. They're served the same dish over and over again, and we're a little spicy. We're just a little spicy. Just a little something-something. So, we're looking in the book of Nehemiah this morning. It's every time I preach, I say it's my favorite story out of the Bible. I think I like them all in the right season, right? So Nehemiah is this guy, and he finds out that the wall around Jerusalem was in shambles. And man, it just bothers him to his core. And I think that if you're going to live the life that Jesus really wants you to live, you've got to have something that fuels the God call on your life. That just existing and calling yourself a Christian isn't really getting it. Like, you have to get up every morning and live life with a purpose, but on a purpose. You have to live life missionally so that at the end of it, you know if you won or lost. We're going to stand before God. And He said, look, well done, my good and faithful servant. What did you do? Well, Jesus, I'm going to tell you what I suffered. I sat in a cushioned pew in heat and air conditioning just for you. Just for you. I was comfortable. Here's what I think. I think that there's more to it than that. I think that we're put on a mission, and our mission sometimes looks different, but it serves an end purpose, and that's to make Jesus famous. So Nehemiah is there, and I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. I'm going to act like I can pronounce Hebrew names. I'm from the border of Virginia and Tennessee by birth, and then I lived in North Carolina. You're lucky I can hit English names. And I went to public school. Can I get an amen? So anyway, so Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9. Nehemiah is on his way to inspect the walls of Jerusalem. And it says this. It says, and then I came to the governors of the province beyond the rivers, and I gave them the king's letter. So Nehemiah had these letters that gave him the authority not just to travel, but also to timber the king's land to rebuild the wall. And it says, now the king had sent me with officers of the army and with horsemen. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah, SH&T found out about it, Amorite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly. Here's the problem. That someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. When you answer God's call, people are not always going to like it. What we do is we look for affirmation from the people we care about. But can I just say this? If you really study the Word of God, you find out that God's people on God's mission are oftentimes not as popular as you think they would be. Like take Noah, for example. Noah builds an ark when it's never rained. He's got a mission from God. It takes him 120 years. I'm not that committed. There's a reason God did not call me to build an ark, because after day two, I'm quitting. I'm building a rowboat. That's all I'm like. And for 120 years, Noah was criticized. He was called crazy. People couldn't get it. But I'll say this. At the end of his journey, everybody called him a genius as they drowned. I feel like we're on a mission, not just as a church. Here's the reality. The church is made up of you. You are the church. The building is not the church. You should be more excited than that. So listen, if you're on mission, the church is on mission. If you're off mission, we're off mission. But here's the thing. Don't expect everybody to applaud the mission. And our mission is to make Jesus famous in the hearts and lives of people who are far away from God. People who don't like church, we're built for them. People who don't do traditional, we're built for them. This is our mission. This is our mandate. This is our DNA. This is who we are. And so in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews. Bro needs like decaf. You ever notice that when you start doing something for God or you start making a change, you made people mad that really shouldn't even be mad. Like, I don't get like, why are you, listen, Sally, why are you so hot? Like, I don't even understand it. Have you ever decided that you're going to be the husband or the wife or the parent or the Christ follower or fill in the blank that God's really called you to be? And all of a sudden people care about you that really don't have any business caring about what you do. It's because when God gives you a mission, when God gives you a purpose, you're going to begin to stir stuff in the enemy's camp that he really doesn't like. So what happens is this, is these guys begin to make fun. Jeered means to make fun of the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? And then another guy, Tobiah, joins in and he says, yes, what are they building? A fox goes up on that wall and he'll break down their stone wall. And then they go on and hear, oh God, that we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they're captives. Do not cover their guilt and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Now here's the thing. I love this. People began to make fun of the folks that were building the wall, and the first thing they did was check their motives. Well, they're not really building it for God. They're building it for themselves. Are they actually going to finish this? And they're doing it so fast. Can I just say this? Nobody likes it when God does something quick unless if he's doing it for you. It's funny to hear jealousy speak. What are they going to do, remodel a church in 3 weeks? Shut up. Ain't nobody going to do that. What are they doing? Putting up all these screens so they can be the next? No. We're doing it because we want to make Jesus famous. We feel like that's our mission and our mandate. And I love this next line, verse 6. So we, say we built the wall. And all the walls joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. People had a mind to work. Here's the thing. When you get on mission, you don't mind working for a mission. Listen, I don't ever want you to come and serve the church. I want you to serve a mission. So whether you park cars, we park cars to make Jesus famous. People ask me all the time, why do you ask the parking lot team to stand out in the rain and the snow and the sleet and the hail? If we had tornadoes here or hurricanes, we would still park cars. Jesse would be the first one out there. He'd be in shorts. But true statement, right? He'd have his team out there. And he would challenge them like this. Oh, okay, well, I guess only the men will go out and park cars in the hurricane. Do you know why? Because Jesse believes in his mission so much that he won't abandon his post. And he really doesn't care that people in their warm cars thinks he's crazy. Because when we have a mind to accomplish something, we don't quit. You ever had your mama decide that you were coming to her house at a specific time? She called and she asked you and you said no, so she called and made you feel guilty. Then she called your spouse and made them feel guilty. Then she went to work on the grandkids. Because she had a mind to work on getting you to that location. Here's the thing, there's a tenacity that has to come inside the kingdom of God where we refuse to give up until we change our part of the world. Not for our glory. We're not building our castle. We're building God's kingdom. That's the point. The point of this is to keep people, when we do their funeral, from saying, I don't know where they're at. Or worse, I know where they're at. I don't want hell to have one more person from Alamance County. Like, that's our job. Jesus leaves us with a great commission. He said, hey, go into all of southern Alamance County, all the world, teach and preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of southern Alamance County. Why? Because the fishing grounds are huge here. But the laborers, the people that have a mind to work, are not that many. So here's what I believe. I believe people are afraid of you. I think that a lot of times people are afraid you'll succeed. Listen, if you're a great dad, you know who doesn't like you? Bad dads. One time, my wife was traveling, and I called the concierge at the hotel that she was at, and I just bribed him. I said, look, dude, I want to pay you X amount of dollars, but here's the job. From the time my wife hits the hotel, every morning, she has flowers when she gets there, waiting in her room. She has a gift every morning at breakfast. And I had written her a letter every day, and I need you to deliver these to her, and I'll pay you X amount of dollars. He's Jamaican, had the best accent I've ever heard in my entire life. So my wife gets to Philadelphia, and she gets off, and, hello, are you Miss Bellamy? And that horrible Jamaican accent, right? I don't even know what accent that was. That was not Jamaican. And my wife's like, if you've ever been to Philadelphia, if you're from Philly, I apologize that you're from there. And just not a good place, right? And so my wife's like, is this a good or bad thing? And he takes care of her every day. Well, one of the guys that was on the trip called me to make fun of me. I took it. I'm like, look, man, you do you and I'll do me. Right? Like, look, I ain't trying to have your marriage. I'm trying to have mine. And this is just missionally who I am. And I'm okay that you don't get it. He came home and his wife had moved all the stuff out of his house. No, it's not like it's. She left him and they got divorced. And he called me, and as I counseled him through that process, he said, you know what? Maybe I should have sent more flowers. Maybe I should have tried, right? Because sometimes the people that make fun of you today will want what you have tomorrow. Not because there's something special about me, but all I'm doing is following a biblical mandate on how to be a husband, how to be a dad, how to be a pastor, how to be, right? And some people are not going to like it just because they don't want you to succeed. And here's the problem. If you rise to their praise, you will fall to their criticism. Who are you doing it for? And so as these guys walk through this, these guys figure out that they can't make fun of them to get them off the wall. So they quit, right? No, man, people that want to mess with you are just going to change their attack because the enemy's job is to get you off mission. You ever decided you're going to be in a good mood and then everything starts going bad? You think that's coincidental? You decide you're going to go on a diet. First thing you listen, every time I go on a diet, somebody brings me food. And I can't let the people of God down. If you bring chocolate chip cookies, it is my job before the Lord to eat them. So in verse 7, it says this, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, the Amorites, anybody they could think of, heard that they were repairing the walls of Jerusalem, and it was going forward and the breaches were beginning to get closed. They were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Here's the thing. If the devil can't stop your mission, he'll try to confuse your mission. Somebody will start talking just enough to undermine the missional goal of what God's called you to. Well, I don't know that we should be. I just don't think that's the way. Can I get a witness? I mean, you can do it, but here's the thing. If the enemy can't stop you, he'll try to confuse you. He'll try to confuse the mission and the vision and the values of what God's trying to accomplish. And this is true whether you're talking about a church or you're talking about your family. Like, what's your goal as a family? Hey, you can have a good marriage. Or you can have a great marriage. But depending if you want a good marriage or a great marriage, how you have to approach it. Do you want your kids to raise up and be good people or godly people? Because it's gonna affect the way you do things. You're gonna have to say no and yes to things depending on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to have a great marriage, and I speak from condemnation a little bit here because our season's been so crazy, but where's date night? Well, I don't have time for date night. Well, do you have time for a divorce? What you invest, what you commit to accomplish is what you'll get out. And so they begin to try to cause confusion in it. And I love verse 9. It says, "And we prayed to our God and set a guard of protection against them day or night." Man, it's so important to pray this prayer where you go, "Hey God, keep me on mission and keep them out." Because remember, the whole point of a wall is to keep bad stuff out and good things in. I built a fence in my backyard so that my dog would stay in it, but all the other stuff would stay out of it. And so verse 10 says this, "And in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the walls." Here's what I know. I know that we've had enough people to get us right here. We've had enough people on mission, vision, and value to get us right here. But we don't have enough to push to the finish line. Every time, some people will come and they'll look and see full seats. I always see empty seats because I wonder who God purposed to be there. Like, and it's not about seats, it's about souls. And I sit there and I go, "Hey, here's what I know. We can't reach Alamance without your help. You have to be part of the solution." And can I just say this? If you're retired this morning, thank you for being here. But you didn't retire from something, you retired to something. Biblical retirement is death. So if you can fog your hand, if you can feel it, you've got a purpose. And until you get up with a purpose, you can never live on purpose. So if you're here and you're alive, and we hope you're alive because it's going to be weird if you're not, you need to get on mission. Retired people have all day to serve. God did not call you to retire so you could watch. It used to be Bob Barker. I think it's Drew Carey now. That ain't it. Because the world is still turning, and I don't mean as the world turns. I mean the real world is turning. And you need to be a part of it. So Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. Now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arab, everybody, and the rest of our, I love this, and the rest of our enemies. Sometimes I can't keep up with who doesn't like me. It's tough. Like, I'm just like, and the rest of my enemies heard that I had built a wall and that there was no breach left. In other words, man, we're getting stronger. We're getting better. Although, up to that time, I had not set up the doors and the gates. Can I just say this? Good leaders always see the blind spots. It's hard for us sometimes to celebrate all the victories. It's like this. Your kid does good 95% of the time. As a parent, you feel like you failed 5% of the time. I got a great marriage, but we fight 5% of the time. Come on. Build a wall. Be happy with what you've got done. Doesn't mean you stop. But it means take time to celebrate that the wall's built. And I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of not celebrating what God has accomplished because I got the next thing on my horizon. Verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem and everybody else sent someone to me saying, "Come, let us meet together in somewhere, and in the plains of Ono." But they intended to do me harm. Can I just say this? You don't need to meet with everybody who wants to talk to you. You don't need to comment on every post that's put on social media. Can I just say this? If the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, I don't really think Jesus needs you to be a social media warrior. Scripture says this, that when two people get in an argument, it's hard to tell who the fool is. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just delete it, block it, and go on. Look, if your mother-in-law says something stupid, your father-in-law says something stupid, your parents say something stupid, your spouse says something stupid, sometimes the best response is nothing. I'm not engaged. I love this. But they intended to do me harm, and they sent messengers, and I sent messengers saying to them, "I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should I stop the work while I leave it and come down to you?" So here's the thing. God called these guys to get on a wall and to build it. I know it makes people nervous every time I get up here because it's a little rickety. Can I just say this? When God calls you to build something, it's going to be a little rickety because you're not going to have the faith just to sit on it. You're going to have to wrestle off some fear. But I want you to pay attention to this. If Pastor Charlie was my enemy, and he kept calling me, and every time I came down off my ladder to deal with his foolishness. Then I gotta try to get back up. Let's get the ladder halfway squared so y'all don't get scared anymore. And I sit back up, and then he calls me, and I climb. Can I just be honest with you? I'm 49 years old. I ain't got all day to climb up Dennis ladder just because Pastor C got something going on. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to crawl myself up here, and there are going to be times when I look at him and go, look, cuz, I ain't got time for you. Yeah, but they're talking. Can I just say this? My perspective up here looks a lot different than yours does. Have you ever noticed that oftentimes we spend our day trying to get people to see our perspective when God never called them to it? You can't understand my call. It's like this. We had a baby 26 years ago. I had a baby. Oh, I didn't. I did. Two genders. Anyway, my wife, thank God, had the baby because that would be super painful. And when moms walk in here, I can empathize with them, but it's been so long I have a hard time sympathizing. Because I got in bed last night and I slept all night. I got up this morning to a cup of coffee, some Jesus music. My life was good. If you're a young mom, you hate me right now. Here's what I know. I know that when you're on your ladder, people think they know what it's like to have your vision. But if you're not on the ladder, you don't get it. And some of us are wearing ourselves out because God's laid something on your heart to accomplish, and you're too busy running up the ladder trying to get everybody else to see what you see rather than sitting up here and just doing what God called you to do. Let me ask you a question. Do you see the work that God called you to is so important you don't have time to deal with people's nonsense? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Here's the way I pastor. I'll deal with some nonsense once. We'll have a conversation, right? We'll deal with what we can deal with. After that, I got too much important. I got people going to hell, man. I got time to make you happy. Can I say, I don't mean that ugly. Like, I love you and I want you to be happy, but my job is not to make you happy. If that was the case, I would build a circus. You like monkeys? I bring some monkeys in here. Pastor C's favorite animal, learned this today, is an elephant. He wants to feed an elephant. I can make him happy. All I got to do is bring an elephant in from Africa, and I'll send it home with Pastor C. And then everybody be happy. We'll start letting kids ride it and sell dollar tickets. We won't even take up an offering anymore. We'll just sell elephant rides. You know, the problem is, that's not our mission. It's not our vision. Our vision is to get on a wall that says we're going to make Jesus famous in southern Alamance County, and we're going to see people come to know Jesus, and we're going to connect people back into a discipleship and a relationship with Jesus, and then we're going to turn them loose on the world so that they can go help win people to Jesus. I was so proud of Pastor Jay this week. I don't even know where he's at. I lost him. Pastor Jay in a pink shirt. He's a cop, 5-0. Woo-woo. Bad boys. But here's what he did. He led somebody to Jesus in his office. Because his job, yeah, come on. His job is a cop. That's how he earns money. But his mission is to make Jesus famous. So the point of it is this. You never are off mission even when you're doing something else. Jesus was always on mission. Like he got up on a wall and didn't come down off of it. Hey, but my daughter's dying. I'll be there in a minute. I'm going to heal this lady with some issue of blood. Then I'll get to it. Why? Why didn't Jesus just rush to it? You know why? Because he was up on his ladder. He's like, dude, this is who I am. This is what God called me to. And I'm not getting off of it for you. If God put you on a calling, only God can take you off of a calling. Why are you messing with what everybody thinks? Listen, God does. It is not American Idol. People don't get a vote on your calling. Hey, everybody press 1 if you think I'm doing right. Is this making sense? When you decide to be the dad that you're called to be, the husband, the wife, the mom, the single person, the dating couple, well, everybody does this. Yeah, but everybody's not called to my wall. Everybody makes fun of their wife. Why? I was with some guys, they started making fun of their wives, and I'm like, you guys are the dumbest people I've ever met. That's harsh for a pastor. They'll stop and listen to what you have to say, especially type A people. We were on a stand, everybody was ragging their wife, and I'm like, man, you are so dumb. They're like, why? And I said, who asked your wife to marry you? Did she ask you? Well, no, I asked her. Oh, so you're the one that has the bad decision making. Ladies, if you don't like your husband, you said yes. There could be some culpability in the issue, right? But what if you say, you know what? We're not going to look at our deficits. Our wall was to have a great marriage, and we're going to climb it. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I know about ladders. My wife does not like heights. Anybody a little afraid of heights? Okay, three honest people. Okay, great. Here's what I know. Sometimes you got to get a courage to get one step up. Because where God calls you to be shouldn't make you comfortable. It should always make you feel a little unstable. But if I stand here long enough, my comfort will lean into the level that I'm at. But what some people want to do is they want to get to a place in their faith that they're comfortable. And then they settle. There have been people that have been in the church 70 years and they're still on one rung. I believe that your faith journey should always cause you to be a little scared. Like if I keep going up this, there's a level where I go, okay, I'm comfortable because I can hang on. I don't have to. But what happens when God says, hey, what I really need you to do is reach up and let me grab a hold of your vision. Let me grab a hold of your mission. I need you to do this. But in order to do that, I need you to turn loose of what makes you comfortable and reach out for the things that make you uncomfortable. Because as long as you're comfortable, you don't really need God. Yeah, but this isn't the right season. When is? Because if the devil can't confuse you and he can't get you off mission, all he has to do is keep you busy enough not to do it. And so I sit here and I'm like, man, we're called to be this church that's on mission, that's on vision, and it starts at home to make Jesus famous. But you have to get to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm too busy for nonsense. I had a bunch of stuff flying at me this week, and I listened to everything, and I woke up about midweek, and I was like, I'm done listening. I'm done. I'm on a ladder. I think what I'm doing is so important, I don't have time to deal with nonsense. And then I came into church this morning. First thing I was looking at, waiting for me, literally, was some nonsense. And we had to have a conversation. And the person I was talking to is like, well, are you going to change this? I said, probably not. Well, I don't want to have this conversation again. I'm like, neither do I. But really, cuz, that's you. I mean, you have a problem with what we're doing here, but if you think I'm coming off mission because you're unhappy, man, you're going to be unhappy. My job, I had a good pastor friend. My pastor Nick said this. He said, my job is not to determine how you react, but only to tell you the truth. He looked at me and said, so how are you going to handle this? I said, I told you I'd look into it. That's kind of all I'm going to do. So you're not going to change. Bro, you just met me. No, I've been on that ladder a minute. Matter of fact, I like the view from obedience to God. I love this verse 4. It said, and they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. And in the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time sent a servant to me with an open letter in his hand. Here's the thing. Can I just say this? These guys keep showing up. He keeps telling them the same thing. Why? Because you got to outlast your critics. Can I just say this? I serve Jesus till my critics become my fans. I'll outlove you. Listen, you don't match nasty for nasty. Jesus said this. He said, don't repay evil with evil. Repay evil for good. Look, man, I love you. I'm sorry you're upset, but I'll pray for you. I'll still wave at you. You can flip me off and I will wave at you. I wave at you just like we drive by the church. I'm still doing this. You can talk about me. Listen, I've been talked about before. If you've never been talked about, raise your hand because we want to gossip right now about you. Just get it out of the way. The Reverend Mike Ditka said this. Okay, if you don't know, he's a football coach. He said this. He said, 50% of the people are going to love you and 50% of are going to hate you. Be the authentic version of you. So here's my thing. But the authentic version of you has to be the God version of you, or it's still a counterfeit. And so what we're saying is what if you commit to being what God really called you to be and get to the place where you refuse to be moved from it? Man, I'm committed to what God and who God has called me to be. And maybe you failed 1,000 times, but here's what I know. If I slip getting up the ladder, I don't give up on ladders. Anybody ever had a moment on a ladder where you're like, ooh, that was sketchy? Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that ladders don't work. You may have had a moment where your relationship with Jesus turned sketchy, even scared you, or maybe you fell off of it. But it doesn't mean that God hasn't called you to a place on top of the ladder to where you have a vision for your life and a place in the calling in the kingdom of God. Because we're not building, this is a castle. We're not building a castle. We're building the kingdom of God. And we're only part of it. I'm just going to say this. People who do choirs and hymnals are not our enemy. Bro, they're serving the same Jesus we are. Bluegrass. I got some people in here, Michael, that love bluegrass. And Lynyrd Skynyrd. And he throws in a Metallica when I'm not paying attention. Can I just say this? The style is not the important thing. Jesus said, if I be lifted up through hip-hop and through Southern gospel and Southern rock and new songs and old songs, he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. I'm not famous by the style. I'm famous because I'm Jesus. And I give mission, I give vision, I give, and ours is to make Jesus famous. And I want to love my wife so much that Jesus shines through my light and she loves him. I want my son, as he gets ready to start his marriage, to be in love with Jesus, not because it's my Jesus, but because I showed him enough Jesus that he fell in love with him too. And I want a world around me to go, dude, you just live different. Like, you're not living by our codes. I'm like, dude, I'm on a standard here of making Jesus famous that doesn't let me come down. I think that in order to do this, you have to become more faithful to your calling than they are to your failure. Here's what I know. Nehemiah built a wall in 52 days. Let me ask you a question. If you became committed to your marriage, to your journey with Jesus, to your parent, to whatever it is, where could you be in 52 days? What could God build in your life, in this church, in our community, in 52 days? What wall could he build? What standard could he raise up that changes a generation for Jesus? What can God do 52 days in your life? Can we pray together? Father, right now, I just ask that in this moment, God, that in this moment, you let us be as focused as Nehemiah and the people that joined him to build a wall. Father, right now, will you put us on mission? Father, will you help us to become so committed to making you famous, God, to reaching the lost, God, to mending broken hearts, God, to restoring marriages, to catching parents as they fall, God, to be there to restore that which the enemy has stolen. God, that we refuse to come down from the wall. God, we refuse to go halfway. God, we refuse to give up. If you're here today and you're like, you know what, Pastor, I would love to do this. Maybe you're online and we're glad you're here, but I'm not going to embarrass you with this, but if you're here and you go, you know what, Pastor, I'm a long way from Jesus, or maybe I've just slipped so far off the ladder, I'm not even connected anymore. That's you today. Will you just slip your hand up? Again, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out or down front. We just want to pray with you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? We're just going to pray with you. Here's what the Bible says in Romans. It says this, that if a man confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. So whether you raised your hand or not, we're just going to ask everybody across this building to pray with us. And man, if you believe this, if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, whether you're here or you're online, man, this is your moment. Pray with us. Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you give these folks a round of applause? Biggest decision you can make. So we have a system here to help you. If you prayed that prayer, get on your journey. And this is not just for people who just gave their life to Jesus. Maybe you've been saved a minute and you're like, dude, I feel like I missed a lot of holes when I gave my life to Jesus. We have some folks here that we call guides. They are not Yoda, nor are they Gandalf. I want you to think about a whitewater rafting boat. Now, here's what I'm going to promise, that whether you follow Jesus or you don't follow Jesus, there are going to be smooth spots in your life. There are going to be rocks and there are going to be rough patches. Can I get a witness? Serving Jesus does not exempt you from junk. But a guide in the boat, when you whitewater raft, helps you navigate that, but he also goes with you. So if you go in the water, he goes in the water. You flip your boat, he's right there with you. So we want to partner you with somebody who can help you journey life. They can do it remotely. We'll do it in person. We'll pay for everything. Help you with discipleship. If you're online, you can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline. You can do that if you're here in house as well. You can also find anybody with a lanyard. Just go, hey, I need to connect with a guide. And we can do that in any format you need it. But here's what we want you to do. We don't think that God ever intended us to journey life alone. And can I be honest? God is not intuitive. Serving him, we know, like giving your life to Jesus, we know when we need to do that. But how do I read my Bible? Where's a great place to start? How do I pray? I had somebody say this to me one time. I don't know if I pray right. You know why? Because without knowledge, people perish. Without an understanding, without a prophetic vision, people die. We don't want that to happen to you because we love you and we're in this journey with you. We don't have all the answers. Can I get an amen? Because if you got all the answers, you should be up here instead of me, and I don't have all the answers. So, but I'm going to make you a promise. We'll be imperfectly following Jesus together as long as you want to. One more time. Can you give these folks a round of applause?
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.